Hey, welcome back. It's Sean from the Commander's Brew. How is everybody doing? I hope well. I hope well. I'm also doing well. Spoiler alert. I mean, you probably read it up front, which is how these things work. The theme of this one is... I mean, I haven't worked out the title yet, so I don't actually know what I wrote there yet. A little behind the scenes there. I do that afterwards. But it's about failure and... when a deck doesn't work the way you wanted it to. I almost gave up on this one, but I didn't. If you're with us in the Discord, you helped brew it, and you know, we did our best. And of course, no shade at all to the Discord. I want to bear, you know, if I decide to give up on a deck, that's on me. That's not because of anything that happened in the brewing process. But in just in general, like the idea of failure, it's like, In a way, I feel I owe, like, will you come to this podcast for some laughs and for some cool deck techs? And if this deck tech is like, if I just couldn't make it work, and I was like, I don't know if that's presentable. And it turns out, after I kind of struggled with it, I thought, well, there's lessons here. We can talk about failure. And like, I guess I just want to share how uncomfortable it is to like not do something excellently. I have gained a lot of equity in my life, a lot of mental fortitude. I've relieved a lot of mental stress by, well, I'm a perfectionist by nature, but really learning to kind of take the motto, good enough is good enough. You know, nobody will know. I'm an artist, you know, as an artist, I've been a performer for quite some time, and improv comedy. And before that, like scripted theater, that sort of thing. It's easier in scripted theater to tell when a mistake happens, but artists in general are so hard on themselves, and everything is like, well, that's a mistake. That's not perfect. Because, you know, to quote the oft quoted Ira Glass idea. I mean, I'm not going to quote it directly. I haven't looked it up, but he talks about how like when you're pretty good at something, you are aware of what you want it to be. So I think this is in that family where good enough is good enough. I'm going to release this episode. I'm going to release this deck tech as it is. And it's not exactly like, in some ways it's very much a Commander's Brew deck, secret commander, a lot of hoops to jump through. But this one, in a way, it's not a Commander's Brew deck because it is expanse, but you'll see that. I'm saving the deck specific stuff just in general. So me personally, this episode, I'm going to say, I think the episode will be good. Actually, that's the other thing. I'm gonna pat myself on the back here, but I think it's very mature to be able to take something and learn from it, right? There's countless cliches about this, right? Sylvester Stallone comes to mind, Rocky Balboa. It ain't about how hard you can hit. It's how hard you can get up. Truly, truly, this part of the show is improvised, and I don't have... I'm giving you a little glimpse of how this old brain works. I've got loose clips all over the place, loose sound bites and memories and excerpts from movies and TV shows and things. And I don't know the actual quote, but I know it's something about getting hit, but you get back up. I didn't want to make this deck tech go to waste. I mean, the lessons learned would be good, but I'm going to make an episode out of it. There's learning to be had. I feel I didn't get too separate from the deck discussion and the personal discussion about failure. It's good enough is good enough. That's kind of the main thrust. And man, it's freeing. It's like, it's really freeing to have something not weigh on your mind anymore, right? To just hit export or hit upload or hit whatever program you're using that says it's done, to just be like, yeah, I could go back and tweak a million more things. How deep do you want to go? Like, I'm trying new little segment intros, little ideas, so I'm making little animations for them. And even those little animations, which are like 4 seconds long, I'm like, do I want to spend more than an hour on them. I want to, like, I'll spend a day on them given no restrictions, but using my time wisely, accepting that good enough is good enough is a huge lesson. I encourage you to go for it. So in a way, what is a failure? I think the fact that I'm learning something from this experience, I think this could potentially be a very interesting episode for the show. That sounds like a success when you measure it that way. And what if that's possible with every failure? You know, any lesson that you can, if you learn something from it, it's not a failure. That's what I'm sticking with here. So I'm going to share what I've learned about the deck brewing process. And yeah, I hope you stick around for it. I mean, honestly, if you've gotten this far and this is your favorite part, you're going to turn off before the deck tech, I thank you. That's an interesting take you have there. I do thank you. And of course, this is the part where I will continue to thank you for listening to the show. Truly, thank you for listening. It means a lot. If you want to help out the show, though, that is an option. You can go to patreon.com/commandersbrew or give us a like and subscribe on YouTube, 5 stars on your podcast app, nice review. If you want to buy cards anyway, go through our TCG player link. That also contributes some of, we'll get a little slice of your purchases, whether it's stuff for this deck or not. And if you're a Canadian listener, we actually do have the best deal for you from our sponsor, the Wizard Tower. Let's hear an name from them now. We're proud Canadian podcasters, and we're proud to be sponsored by one of Canada's premier card stores, the Wizard's Tower, wizardtower.com. Our Canadian listeners get an exclusive coupon code BREWNEO to get 5% off any order of singles shipped to you for free as long as you've ordered $20 or more in singles. And you can check out our decklist for this week's episode and other episodes we've done on their content site, mtgcanada.com. Remember raves? Look at the size of these pants. Okay, so let's get to this deck tech. So as I mentioned off the top, this episode almost didn't happen. I was brewing up this deck with the Discord. The idea, I think, is sound, and I think I pulled something off. But again, it was a journey. And I'm going to take you on that journey of how the idea started, where we went with the idea, and then the speed bumps along the way, and that turning point where I almost gave up, but I decided to push through and present to you this deck. The story of this deck. I'm going to call this segment Deck Tales. Woo! So let's start from the beginning. The very first idea, looking through old commanders we haven't looked at in a while, or just ones that were released that seemed pretty cool but we haven't used, General Ferris Rockerick came to mind. Do you remember him? Modern Horizons. I don't remember this card coming out. I must have looked at it or talked about it, but it just slipped my mind. It's a Boros commander. 1 red-white, legendary human soldier, 3/1 protection, hexproof from monocolored. Can't target it with a Doomblade or like what monocolored removal spell, Path to Exile. Whenever you cast a multicolored spell, create a 4/4 red and white golem artifact creature token. Okay, it's a little different. It's a little bit like any multicolor spell, you get a 4/4 golem. This is Boros. I mean, Boros is no stranger to making tokens, white specifically. Oketra makes 4/4s. But this seems interesting. I think there's definitely something we could do with this. So obviously, the first idea naturally is to look at the Boros color pie and what kind of multicolored cards do we have to offer? What kind of things can we cast to make our 4/4s? And not surprising, it's not that deep. It's not that exciting. There's a ton of multicolored, you know, little creatures or little spells or things that just do stuff that you're like, I don't really... I mean, there's a couple of neat synergies that jump up. Akiri Lineslinger, the partner, the red-white partner. First Strike Vigilance, 0/3, but +1/+0 for each artifact you control. That's each golem, so that Akiri's going to get big, and Akiri makes a golem. Maybe you're going to run Figure of Destiny. creature-wise, there's a few, like, obviously, Boros Charm is a classic. That's the red-white, and if you don't remember the three modes, 4 damage to a creature or a planeswalker, sorry, a player or planeswalker, give all your permanents indestructible, or give a creature double strike until end of turn. That's good, but honestly, there's a lot of, like, not that good multicolor Boros cards. Fresh-faced Recruit, 1 and a hybrid Boros, as long as it's your turn, Fresh-faced Recruit has first strike. Fine. I mean, a 2-1 for 2 sounds awful, but when you also get a 4-4, it sounds decent. But in the world of Commander, we expect more. I'm not going to go through all of the Boros multicolor cards. There's quite a few of them. How many are there, actually? I wonder if I can get that number. So Scryfall tells me there's 194 cards in Boros that are red and white. That's plenty, but again, not all of those are playable, I think. And that's kind of not where this deck lives. I didn't want to do that. So then you got to get more colors in there. And okay, so now we're getting into secret commander territory. Whenever we want to build around General Ferris Rokirik and Rokirik. Anyway, we want to make a ton of 4/4s and attack with them and, you know, kill the table. Sounds like a very Boros thing to do, but if we're reaching into green as well, we've got access to more tutors. There's like a Eldamri's Call, Worldly Tutor. Is it Worldly Tutor? We've got other ways to tutor up creatures if we add green. Obviously, if we add black, we've got straight tutors altogether. But going green, white, red, then we get access to Atla Pilani as the commander, and Atla Pilani Nest Tender. This is 1 red, green, white, legendary human shaman, 2/3, 2 tap, create a 0/1 egg creature token with defender, and whenever an egg dies, you reveal cards until you reveal another creature and put that creature onto the battlefield. It's like the creature was inside the egg the whole time. But if we only run General Ferris Bueller, then that's one big piece of the puzzle solved. Whenever you do a secret commander, you kind of need a reliable way to get your commander out, because we don't have we have the command zone, but Atla Pilani's in there now. So Atla Pilani comes out, makes an egg, Ferris comes out, and then we go to town. Also, I have to point out, adding green isn't bad, because we obviously are going to want haste. Once we make a ton of 4/4s, I would love to finish everybody off at once, rather than wait for a cycle of the table, just probably get wrathed and lose the entire job we've done so far. Oh, that would be the worst, to get everything done, one wrath, and your whole, like, I'm all in on these 4/4s. Giving them haste is key. Now that we have green, we can, if we're millionaires, we can do Concordant Crossroads, of course. Fires of Yavimaya is one that we can use. That's the enchantment that gives all your creatures haste. It's red, green, and 1, and you can sack it to give a creature +2/+0 or +2/+2. I forget which one it is. I don't have it in front of me, but that's pretty decent. You can't use Rhythm of the Wild, though. That's the one that gives a creature as it enters Riot, which is either a +1/+1 counter or haste. It specifically states it only does that for non-token creatures. We're making a ton of tokens, so that one's out. You know, we've got access to red, but now that we're looking at creatureless, we do lose cards like Anger. So maybe we run a Hammer of Purphoros. Maybe we run Fervor. Maybe we run stuff like that. We've got options for haste. So, okay, that's covered. Still, though, there isn't quite enough. You know, we gained access to a lot more multicolored cards by adding green, but we lost a ton of multicolored cards because now we're trying to go creatureless except for General Ferris Bueller. Here's where the next step comes in. I think this was a pretty cool idea. We can go and put Asika, God of the Tree, in the command zone, which, as you know, on the back is the planar bridge. So that's where this idea started to get really cool in my mind, because we want more colors and we still want a way to get General Ferris Rockrick in a creatureless deck. That sounds like a job for the prismatic bridge, or rather Asika, God of the Tree. This is from Call Time. So Asika's the front side of the card, but on the back, which we can cast from our command zone, is the Prismatic Bridge. It's a Wooburg legendary enchantment, which means we've got all five colors available to us. And at the beginning of our upkeep, reveal cards until you reveal a creature or planeswalker, put it straight into play. That's what I'm talking about. So we're putting the Prismatic Bridge in the command zone. Rockrick is the only creature in the deck, and we have access to all of the cards that Magic has ever made that are multicolored. And otherwise, if we want them, and we want a few. So now we've got our plan. This is what we're going to do. And I'm excited about this. Genuinely, this sounds like a super cool idea. Flip into Rockrick, cast a ton of multicolored spells, overwhelm our opponents with a bunch of 4/4s. What an achievement unlocked. That would be a fun way to go. And it so far, it doesn't sound out of the ordinary. It doesn't sound like something we've never done before. We've done wild decks that have a lot of peculiar hoops to jump through to make it work. I'm not against that. I think this is fine. What this is actually shaping out to be now is a Storm deck. Storm decks work by casting a ton of spells, obviously, but in order to do that, the spells have to be free or cheap, and we have to have some sort of draw engine to keep getting spells into our hand to be able to cast them for free or for cheap. I mean, this card is a Storm signature. I'm talking about Manamorphose. It's one and a hybrid Gruul, so either red or green. It's an instant, and you add 2 mana in any combination of colors to your mana pool, so we get back the 2 mana that we spent in any color, which, might I add, is pretty useful for a 5-color deck. It also draws us a card, so it replaces itself, it puts the mana back in our pool. It functionally had no effect. Like, it replaced itself mana-wise and card-wise, yet we've got one spell under our belt. We're not actually storming. There's no cards that say storm, but General Ferris Rockrick makes a 4/4 off of it. It's effectively storm. Gitaxian Probe, any of those free spells, like that one draws us a card as well. We can pay 2 life instead of a Phyrexian Blue to look at a player's hand and draw a card. That's essentially a free card draw. That's key. Now, Gitaxian Probe doesn't actually count, like, as I said, remember, we're not true Storm. We don't just care about spells. We care about multicolored spells only. So it won't make a golem for Rockrick, so that's kind of not what we're interested in. But, you know, maybe we want to thin the deck a little bit. I am considering running Frantic Surge. That's the 3-mana instant that untaps 3 lands. You draw 2, discard 2. So you're down a card because you lose the Frantic Search itself, and you know then you pitch 2 and draw 2. So you get a little bit of selection. You untap 3 lands, so it's got a net mana cost of 0, but if you can get a discount on your spells, then you actually profit mana. That's one way we're going to keep the Storm train going. And I think the fact that we're down a card is not too bad. Again, it's a classic Storm card because you kind of accumulate lands in your hand. This all happens in one turn, so every time you draw a land, it's kind of a dead draw. We won't be able to use it. So being able to pitch lands and replace them with possibly non-lands is key. Now, this deck in particular, we want to draw a lot more cards. We want to cast a spell and draw a card. So, of course, Tome of the Guild Pact is amazing in the deck. That's a 5-mana artifact, and whenever you cast a multicolor spell, draw a card, and you also get to tap it to add 1 mana of any color. It's one of the most expensive mana rocks that there are, 5 mana to get one back, but it's a draw engine. That's where it's coming in handy. I keep using the term storm interchangeably, but you must remember that it's not true storm. It's a 4/4 golem creature with a multicolored spell, and this draws us a card every time we cast one of those. It's a 100 card deck, so you gotta have a little bit of redundancy. So I'm also running Whirlwind of Thought. That's an enchantment for one blue, red, white. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, draw a card. You know, since we're running non-creatures because of the gimmick of the deck, this is going to trigger every time we cast a spell, including our artifacts. So this one's actually pretty good. Temur Ascendancy. I've been saving this one. This one is crucial. Like, it does both of the things we want to do. It's a green, blue, red for an enchantment. Creatures you control have haste. Checks that box. And whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, you may draw a card. Guess what those golems are? Power 4 or greater. So every time we cast a multicolored spell, we're drawing a card. That's functionally the same as the Tome of the Guild Pact, but it also gives our team haste, and it costs way less than the Tome. So this is one we're happy to run too. I would also consider Song of Creation. One green, blue, red for enchantment. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. I mean, I'm not going to take that many additional turns. And whenever you cast a spell, draw 2 cards. At the beginning of your end step, discard your hand. I don't know if we're going to do much past this turn anyway. This is kind of an all or nothing strategy. But again, if it makes it work, I mean, drawing 2 per spell ensures that we will always have spells to cast in hand. Feels good, right? We got a pretty good plan. We've got a ton of ways to draw cards. We're going to give the team haste. We've got a way to sneak out Rockrick once we've got a lot of mana. Now that's what we got to do, though. We got to get that mana. We're going to ramp like crazy at the beginning of the game. And the other angle that we're going to do to keep our storm count high, not literally a storm count, is to make spells cheaper. A lot of multicolor spells have a lot of pips in them. I just explained Whirlwind of Thought. That's one blue, red, white. There's a pip for, there's a blue, a red, and a white. So if you were able to discount that by 1, it would still cost you 3. Most multicolor spells cost minimum 2 pips and some colorless. Or no colorless. But what I'm getting at is you can't make many of them cost less than 2 because they've got 2 colors of mana in that they're multicolored spells. If we've got 10 mana out, I can't be spending 2 mana per spell and cast 5 spells. 5 4/4s, whether they have haste or not, isn't gonna, I mean, it might dent someone's life total, but it's actually embarrassing. Ooh, it hurts. It hurts to think that we've worked so hard and we got to this point and we can't even do a little anything more than that. So that's where I'm feeling like, is this a bad idea? Should we not do this? The feelings are starting to creep in, the negative feelings of what it's like. If, however, we look towards hybrid mana cards, like from the Ravnica blocks, and they exist elsewhere as well. Metamorphose is a great example. Metamorphose is a multicolor card with a colorless and a gruel hybrid. So if I was able to reduce the mana cost of Metamorphose by 1, it would cost me a single red/green, a single mana to cast that spell. That's what I'm talking about. There are a fair number of single mana multicolor spells that are hybrid. A couple of them are truly useless with this strategy. Like, they hinder our strategy. We won't run those. A lot of them are functionally useless for what we're doing. But there's not enough. There's not the density we need. And you can't discount those. But there's enough, like, Metamorphose type ones and 2 in a hybrid. So if we can find a way to reduce our spells by 2 or more, I mean, spoiler alert, more doesn't matter. Nothing costs more than 3 in our multicolor spells, except for a couple exceptions, which I will highlight. We can't reduce them by much more than 2, but if we can reduce it by 2, then that covers all of our deck. That means every multicolor spell we have is a single mana. That's the key. Urza's Filter. 4 generic for an artifact. Multicolored spells cost up to 2 less to play. I would have thought this card was really expensive because that's a big discount and it's a really old card. It says Urza on it. I just assumed it's like about $5, which is not bad at all. I guess people realize that that's like, there's not enough good multicolored spells. Most decks don't run a huge density of them. I'm sure those Niv-Mizzet decks probably run it, but my other thought at first was like, well, most commanders are multicolored, so getting a 2-mana discount, that's like free tax one time. Until you start to do the math and realize you paid 4 to put this out there, and it gives you back 2, like, once. I mean, every time you cast it, it gives you back 2, but you have to cast your commander an additional 3 times before you get any meaningful savings off of this. I just don't think it's a great commander card, but happy to run into this deck. This is perfect for this deck. And so here we go. Another way to get a discount is the Immortal Sun, which is not cheap. You can't run Planeswalkers. The Planeswalkers don't work. You draw an extra card per turn. All your creatures are +1/+1. So it makes our golems 5/5s, which actually is significant. It truly does help us seal the deal. But all your spells cost 1 generic less. Perfect. Now, I considered Jace's Sanctum. Jace's Sanctum is the enchantment that makes instants and sorceries cost 2 less. And you get to scry whenever... Oh, wait. No, I'm mixing them up. Arcane Melee makes instants and sorceries 2 less. Jace's Sanctum makes instants and sorceries 1 less and allows you a scry. But with both of these, it only goes instants and sorceries. Most of our multicolor spells are instants and sorceries, but there's a few enchantments in there, and it would burn. I did some testing, and it happened. It burns when you have most of your enchantments in your hand, and you're like, well, I'm not getting discounts on these. That's the whole friggin' point of this plan. I mean, the other thing is, Immortal Sun's great. It's pricey. What's Immortal Sun go for these days? $25. Yeeks. This is an expensive card. I mean, it does so much. It shuts off Planeswalkers, so obviously we can't run anyway, but we weren't running them anyway because the Prismatic Bridge would tutor into Planeswalkers or creatures, so we definitely want to hit General Ferris Bueller, so we can't run Planeswalkers, which is a real shame, because if we're looking at hybrid cards that we can discount, Kiora is so perfect for this deck. Kiora, Behemoth Beckoner, 2, and a hybrid Simic. 7 loyalty, -1, untap target permanent, that's ramp. You can untap a mana rock or a land. And whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. That's every time we make another golem. So the Kiora would be perfect with General Rockrick, but alas, with Prismatic Bridge, we're not going to run her. I mean, there is the angle of making this your only other hit. So either you hit General Ferris first and hope he stays alive until next turn, and then Kiora will come in through the bridge, then you go ham. Or if you hit Kiora first, I guess that's more ideal, because then you want to hit Rockrick second and do your action right then. You don't want to give the table a chance to deal with him first. But that's a side note. I don't think I would do that. So we're running a ton of these hybrid mana cards, and I'm not going to lie to you, a lot of them don't do anything. Oof. That's the density, though. This is the gut check, right? This is the moment where I'm like, am I really going to run Bioshift? It's an instant. Move any number of +1/+1 counters from target creature onto another target creature with the same controller. I got cards like Square Up, 1 in a Simic. Instant, target creature has base power and toughness 4/4 until end of turn. We make 4/4s, so the only creature this helps is General Rockrick himself. I don't know. There are some good ones, though. I mean, I want to talk about Unnerving Assault. It's 2 and a Is It hybrid. Again, the reduce should make this just an Is It mana. Creatures your opponents control get -1/-1 if you spent blue, but we're hoping to spend red so that creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. It pumps the team. Unnerving Assault is pretty good. There's a few other ones that actually draw cards. Inside Out is 1 and an Is It, reduces to just Is It. switch target creature's power and toughness till end of turn, and draw a card. Switching power and toughness does truly nothing. We're not going to make Rockrick a 1-3. And a 4-4, you know, you switch a 4-4 to a 4-4, no big deal. But we draw that card, right? It keeps the storm going. Fate Transfer, one in a Dimir. Move all counters from target creature onto another target creature. It's Bioshift, but better, because you're not restricted to, like, the same controller. I don't know if you had a -1/-1 counter. There is a little synergy there, actually. Where is it? We've got one spell that draws us a couple cards, and part of the casting cost is to put, here we go, Scar's Scale Ritual, one Dimir, sorcery. As an additional cost to play Scar's Scale Ritual, put a -1/- counter on target on a creature you control, and you draw two cards. And then we can use that other one to move that -1/-1 counter to an opponent's creature. That's pretty cheeky. There are some that are pretty good. Selesnya by itself, a one mana value card, sorcery. Search your library for a forest or a plains, reveal it, put it into your hand. Happy to do that. Happy to do that once Rockrick's out. Maybe that's my land for the turn. Gets me one more play out of my hand. Fossil Find. It's a gruel, single mana value. Return a card at random from your graveyard to your hand, and then reorder your graveyard as you choose. So, I mean, that doesn't matter in the deck, but we might get a card back. Get our mana morphos back. That's an ideal there. We got a couple cards that, like, destroy an artifact or enchantment, that sort of thing. We can blink a creature. A lot of things we need, like, if there is an artifact, we have to have a target to cast those ones. There's a couple of fight spells in there. How many do we have total? 31 hybrid cards that have generic mana as beyond one. So all 31 cards that can be reduced to a single mana that are all multicolored that will get us a golem. I have to highlight one that is a sorcery that does not follow this trend. It's Heroic Reinforcements, 2 red, white sorcery. Create 2/1/1 white soldier creature tokens, and all your creatures get +1/+1 in haste. Here's another way to give the team haste in case we miss our haste enablers. While I'm talking about this, this is difficult to pull off. It requires some huge pieces to come together. We really want to give the team haste. We need one of our draw effects, because if you don't have one of those, you'll make 3 golems and that's it. And you're at your hands empty, and then you just twiddle your thumbs. Nothing happened. That's 2 things we need. We need a haste enabler and a draw enabler, and we really want a reducer. Otherwise, we won't be able to cast enough things to get enough golems. So that's 3 key pieces that we have some redundancy for, but not a ton. And I don't need to tell you, we don't have a ton of draw outside of that. I'm not planning on drawing a million cards without casting these spells. So if I don't have the cost reducer in my hand, in my opener, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off. This deck seems so tricky. And of course, I don't need to tell you that one way to solve that would be to add more tutors, but I'd want them to be cheap tutors. And that's just money. That's more money. I haven't even addressed lands yet. We brew budgets here. So I would normally do this with some guild gates. You know, you put in those tri lands that come into play tapped, put in a couple of gain lands, some basics, Terramorphic Expanse, Evolving Wilds. It's a typical Commander's Brew budget land base to save money on the deck. But at that rate, you're going so slow, you kind of need shocks and fetches, right? I did a test with some shocks and fetches just to kind of save time. It also, all those fetches do thin the deck a little bit. You know, people have done the math on this, and thinning your deck that way doesn't really matter a ton, but I do think it's valuable when you're trying to do something like this, when you just need to get through so many cards, like drawing one less land in your storm run. That's one more card for your storm little run there. So I'm happy to do it. Anyway, that's a better move, but obviously it's expensive. Anointed Procession, Doubling Season, Parallel Lives. Those cards would be wonderful in this deck, but again, that brings the price way up. I mean, you kind of have to have Chromatic Lantern as one of your mana rocks as well, but that card's up to $10 now, and like, without Chromatic Lantern, let's not even talk about money. This deck is a sequencing nightmare. If you have to manage, like, okay, all your whole hand is hybrid and you have a collection of dual lands on the battlefield, and you're like, which ones, how can I tap all of these to actually cast all the cards in my hand? If one of them is like, you know, give everybody haste, like our heroic reinforcements, well, I know that has to be last because I can't, you know, I don't want to cast that and then not give other things haste that come into the battlefield. Ooh, it can be brutal. So like, that's $10, make the card better. Shocks and Fetches, make the deck better. All those doubling enchantments, make the deck better. This deck, is it worth it? We're talking an extra couple $100, maybe more, on the support side. This money is not the cards that actually are the deck. The actual, like, hybrid cards that we're running are a quarter a piece, one gumball a piece. There's a couple, like, Metamorphos is actually $5. Cauldron Haze. Do you remember Cauldron Haze? That's the one. It's an instant, one in an Orzhov hybrid. Choose any number of target creatures. Each of them gain persist until end of turn. That's $1.50 because it's useful in some decks. It's not useful to us. You can't give a token persist. Doesn't do anything. And Rockrick is 3-1. If you give him persist, he comes back as a 2-0 and immediately dies. So we can't give anything on our team persists, but that's $1.50. So beyond those two, all of these are a quarter a piece, right? You might as well like swap them out, put in one that's like, if Cauldron Haze is $1.50, it does literally nothing. Put in Dream Salvage. Who cares? What's Dream Salvage? Any of these. Turn to Mist. Exile target creature, return it at the beginning of the next end step. Fine. Doesn't matter. Rockrick himself, 3 gumballs. There we go. Tome of the Guild Pack, 50 cents. Urza's Filter, as I mentioned, only $5. This is the tough part. This is where I feel the deck is so tough to run, because I don't know. Would you call this a failure or not? The deck runs. So by a strict definition, this deck can do the thing. We can, if we draw the exact right cards, if we draw into the right cards, if we don't get the interaction from our opponents, maybe we can win. How do you do the Rule Zero talk with this? Oh, I've got the jankiest deck that there ever was. It's sort of a combo deck, but I need 90 pieces for everything to go right. And when I finally try to shoot my shot, I probably won't make it. Like, great. Sure, I could sell a deck that way, but you're going to sit down. We're all going to reveal our commanders. You're going to put Issika or the Prismatic Bridge, and they're going to be like, oh, Prismatic Bridge? Okay, we got to hate this guy out right away. People are afraid of that card. We're going to draw a lot of hate just by sitting down with that. You know, if you tell them, like, this deck is maybe a 3 that under perfect conditions can function like a 6. Like, no one's going to believe you if you, like, what if you proxied all your lands and you show up with original duels and Shocks and Fetches and, like, Prismatic Bridge up there? No one's going to think that you're harmless. They're going to stop you. I haven't even talked about that. We got nothing in the deck to protect or disrupt. Every ounce, every card slot was used to further our goal, because it is a shaky goal. It is holding on by a thread. So I could not afford, I'm not running Gitaxian Probe because I don't want one more card doing that. I'm not going to debate you whether or not that actually takes up a card slot. It effectively makes your deck 99. or 98 bigs, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not running any counter spells. The removal is whatever happens to exist on these weird hybrid cards. Bit of draw that way. It's bad. Is it though? Like, I don't know. What I loved about this process is it's a fun experiment. It's fun to push and dig and just hang on to a dream and just be like, I know, like, there's thousands of Magic cards. I must be able to make this work. And it technically does. And I think that's exciting. That's a win. I don't want to put the time and effort and money. I don't own all these cards to put this deck together. Maybe I would proxy some stuff, but like, I wouldn't want it. But I kind of want to see it. I kind of want to try it. I don't know. It's fun to be reassured that anything is possible in Commander. I do love that, even if it's unlikely. I mean, in the end, we built a Storm deck. This is a Storm deck, which is already a mechanic that requires a huge deck building demand, and we put extra steps on it. So that's what feels very Commander's Brew to me. I don't think there are many other secret Ferris Rockrick decks that are trying to do it quite this way, all in one shot. And before I leave you, I must mention that what we're essentially doing, getting a creature onto the battlefield, casting a bunch of multicolor spells to make tokens, and then swinging out with those tokens, I would be a fool to not at least mention Docent of Perfection. I think that's part of what's been bugging me about this. Docent of Perfection. 3 blue-blue insect horror, 5/4 flying. Whenever you cast an instant or a sorcery spell, hey, one color, monocolor, multicolor, colorless. There are colorless instants and sorceries. Put a 1/1 blue human wizard creature token onto the battlefield. Then, if you control 3 or more wizards, transform the docent, which gives all your wizards +2/+1 in flying. And you're still making tokens. So instead of making 4/4s, we will be making 3/2 flyers. And that's just off of any instant and sorcery. We could brew a deck. Probably is it. Docent of Perfection. I mean, I've used this card as a win con before. Maybe we sneak Adelies in, the Cinderwind, so when we cast these spells, it also makes wizards bigger, pumps our wizards, so we won't even need that many wizards to finish the job. But, like, we can do everything that this secret Rockrick deck does. Instants and sorceries, not many creatures, tons of tokens, swing up for a win out of nowhere. It's so much easier, and our instants and sorceries get to be ones that further the game plan and aren't just like cantrips. The deck is full of 30 do-nothing cantrips, basically, just to make this work. Ooh. Mixed emotions here. Mixed emotions. It was fun, though. I do think I truly value everyone's help in our Discord. Again, it's one of my favorite parts about doing the show is like jumping into the Discord, putting our brains together and coming up with some stuff. And again, please, I don't want to put any shade on that. Like when I'm talking about the idea of a failure, I put none of this on the people who are in the Discord offering genius ideas. I'm excited by these ideas, and it is entirely because of the team we had working on this particular deck. Dylan PH coming in with the Atla Pilani idea, Papadio, Groove Chicken, Chiefy, Knackle Booper,